We have once again been blessed with a sacred outpouring of the Spirit. I hope you will repeatedly study the messages of this conference throughout the coming months.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my crazy daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. She was trying to make me laugh during the intro by video means, so glad to have you. How's life treating you today, Aaliyah?
Pretty good. It's a little hot outside, but other than that, it's okay.
Indeed. We are recording today on Mother's Day. So did you call your mom?
I did.
Awesome.
I did call mom.
Good for you. I know you even sent her a little gift, so appreciate that. Awesome. Speaking of moms, we got the mother of the year with us today. It's Rivka. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm great. I do not know how the mother of the year is, but I'm doing great.
Awesome. Good. And the husband to the mother of the year, Burke. How are you today, Burke?
Oh, I'm just really grateful for this, for the honor of this award. I worked really hard to achieve being the husband of the mother of the year.
Awesome. Good. Well, to all mothers today, thank you and appreciate all your sacrifices. It is a divine calling that brings a lot of joy, but is also very, very challenging. So thank you so much for all that you do. And so with that, we'll move on to our talk today. We're going to discuss Be Still and Know That I Am God by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. A somewhat, to me, surprising talk from Elder Bednar, who I don't think of with stillness that often, but a very interesting talk where he talked about how stillness can bring us closer to the Lord. So let's start with Aaliyah. And Aaliyah, what was your fundamental doctrine?
My fundamental doctrine comes near the middle-ish of the talk. He says, as the foundation of our lives is built upon the Savior, we are blessed to be still, to have a spiritual assurance that God is our Heavenly Father, we are His children, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. So the first part is kind of a blessing invitation combo. And the second part is just a list of fundamental doctrine knowledge that we should all have within us, and that when we do, helps us to be still.
Awesome. We're going to talk about the word foundation, I'm sure, at some point. Anything else from that fundamental doctrine you wanted to elaborate on or that was meaningful to you?
I just thought it was interesting that he equated being still to having assurance, spiritual assurance that God is our Heavenly Father, we're His children, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. Like, the assurance of those relationships equals being still.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I didn't... when I think of being still, I think of, like, action or movement or the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thinking more along the lines of knowledge and... That I guess to me is more of the like inner peace kind of sentiment. So
right. So in stillness, we can receive peace and grow closer in our relationship with our Heavenly Father Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yep.
Burke mentioned before we started that we're recording on video for the first time in like forever. We tried it only once or twice before, that we would change our behavior. So if you heard like 5 seconds of silence, that was Aaliyah nodding.
I was nodding, and then I realized that only you could see me nodding. And so I had to say, yep.
And I was nodding back. And then I was like, nope, people can't hear you nodding.
I warned you. Looking at each other would change our behavior.
It did. It did. Prophetic. Well, let's go on to Rivka. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine? I get to watch her turn pages now. That's awesome. I love it.
I know. It's not just audio for you anymore. So I think I'm choosing as my fundamental doctrine the scripture that he reads, Helaman, chapter 5, verse 12, which for the rest of you old people was a scripture mastery scripture.
Indeed.
And it goes like this. Remember, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot.
Okay, what do you like about that scripture?
I have so many thoughts about this talk. I mean, I did already, but then also today in Relief Society, I led a discussion on this talk. So I have like so much swirling in my head. But I think what I love about that scripture and his use of it here is that he is talking about the command that Heavenly Father gives us to be still. And this scripture tells us why building a foundation on Jesus Christ is how we can be still.
It tells us why building our foundation on Jesus Christ is how we can be still.
Yeah. And that building a foundation on Jesus Christ is how we can be still.
Okay.
Regardless of what is going on around us or what we're experiencing.
So tell me more about that. As we build our foundation on him, it gives us peace. Is that what you're saying?
Peace is one of the things. So the old primary song, right, about the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the waves came for both of those, the house on the sand had some real problems. And the house that was on the rock stood still because it had its foundation in rock. And Helaman 5:12 tells us that the rock is Jesus Christ, and we need to build our foundation on him and connect our foundation on him. And then if whatever is going on around us, we will be able to be still because we are anchored.
I love it. So in this instance, you and he are using the word still to mean more steadfast. And immovable.
Well, yeah, he says just a few paragraphs up, I believe the Lord's admonition to be still entails much more than simply not talking or not moving. Perhaps his intent is for us to remember and rely upon him and his power at all times and in all things and in all places that we may be in. Thus, be still may be a way of reminding us to focus upon the Savior unfailingly as the ultimate source of the spiritual stillness of the soul that strengthens us to do and overcome hard things. Which I love that definition of be still.
Yeah. Focused upon the Savior and the source of our spiritual stillness. Let's see. So he's saying that stillness gives us strength and ability to do hard things. So stillness as peace, stillness as steadfastness, and stillness as strength.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I like it. Okay, we've already hit the foundation twice. We're going to still come back to that in a little bit because there's more he says, and we had lovely pictures in this talk as we discussed last time. But next we'll go to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. This I think goes really well with what both Aaliyah and Rivka has said. Early in the talk, he reads a scripture, and the last part of it is, be still and know that I am God. We're probably familiar with that scripture. And then he explains, I believe the Lord's admonition to be still entails much more than simply not talking or not moving. Perhaps his intent is for us to remember and rely upon him as his power at all times and in all things and in all places that we may be in. Thus, be still may be a way of reminding us to focus upon the Savior unfailingly as the ultimate source of the spiritual stillness of the soul that strengthens us to do and overcome hard things. So he just kind of wraps that all together. And just like Aaliyah said, it's not just not talking or not moving. There's this trust aspect and binding ourselves to the Savior.
Okay. So sort of bringing it back to what Rivka was saying, about the multifaceted meaning of stillness. So pretty cool. I want to go back to the beginning of the talk where he does talk about stillness as, I guess, just quietness. So he takes a group of non-member journalists through an open house of a temple. I forgot which one. And in the celestial room, he told them not to talk and that he would answer questions afterwards. So they go through, they don't talk, they go out on the other end. And one of the journalists says, I have never experienced anything like that in my entire life. I did not know quiet like that existed in the world. I simply did not believe such stillness as possible. So as our sort of baseline definition of stillness, let's talk about maybe the first step, just being quiet and trying to connect with God. So Aaliyah, how have you cultivated stillness in your life as a way to connect with the Lord?
I am also, like you, bad at not moving. I actively have something in my hand right now that I've been squishing. So I think for me, putting myself in places where I am required to be still is good. So for instance, sitting in the same chair for 90 minutes in the endowment room is a great way to be still because there's nothing to think about or do or listen to other than sitting and feeling the spirit and watching the film. Another thing that I can do is listening to music, spiritual music or quiet music, because sometimes if there's nothing in my head, it's hard to focus. But if I have something that's intentionally spiritually inducing, then I can have that stillness inside and out. So those are a couple ways.
Awesome. If it's finals week at BYU and Aaliyah's taking a test, she's going into that little music room upstairs in the testing center where they're playing music during finals. Do they still do that, Aaliyah?
I have only taken one test in the testing center, so
Music major. You're probably doing something somewhere else, I guess.
All my exams involve me singing to someone.
Okay.
Also music involved in that, though. So I guess that's the same thing.
Exactly.
Took a lot of tests in that music room.
Indeed. So did I. So many tests. It made me wonder this week, Aaliyah, thinking about what you just said, if I too often ignore opportunities for stillness as I read through this talk. So, you know, maybe I'm doing the dishes or whatever, you know, I've got a podcast in, or maybe I'm just driving to work. I'm listening to an ebook. Listened to Cradle again. I finished it one more time. I don't know how many times this is now. It's not enough times. That's exactly how many times. Maybe there are opportunities there for me to unplug all that stuff and just drive in quietness. And even if I'm not like actively meditating or praying or something, but just actively choosing stillness in my life. So something I'm very, very bad at.
I had that thought this week too.
Yeah.
I always have headphones in, always.
Yeah.
So
me too.
Even if I'm listening to something good and positive and spiritual and uplifting, like a podcast or whatever, there's times where I just need nothing.
Yeah. Longtime listeners will remember that back in the days when we lived in Wisconsin, the place I got my stillness was our hot tub.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah said places you're forced to be still. Well, you can't bring a device in there or it will die. You can, but it's not easy. And so, and that actually led to so many great family conversations when we were forced to have stillness in the sense that we couldn't do anything but talk to each other. It was amazing. So not a method that everyone can implement, but still great. All right. Well, let's go on, Rivka. We talked about the next section where we read that quote. Let's go back to the foundation section. You touched upon it with your fundamental doctrine. Share something for us or with us from this section about the foundation and how it enlarges our understanding of our relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
So he says, first of all, he shows an image of a building. It's a stone building on some, I don't know, dirt. It's the first one without the foundation visible. And he says, the foundation is the part of a building that connects to the ground. A strong foundation provides protection from natural disasters and many other destructive forces. A proper foundation also distributes the weight of a structure over a large area to avoid overloading the underlying soil and provides a level surface for construction. And then he talks about, I'll just keep reading. A strong and reliable connection between the ground and a foundation is essential if a structure is to remain sturdy and stable over time. And for particular types of construction, anchor pins and steel rods can be used to attach the foundation of a building to bedrock, the hard solid rock beneath surface material such as soil and gravel. So if our lives or our testimonies or our homes are what this building that he's talking about is representing, and our foundation is, well, we're supposed to be connecting our foundation to the bedrock, which is Jesus Christ. He talks about doing it through anchor pins and steel rods. And I think we could probably have a discussion about what some of those anchor pins and steel rods could be that connect our foundation to him. They might even be foundational things that we list.
Awesome. Give us a few examples. What things connect you? What are some anchor pins in your life?
So the foundations for sure, reading my scriptures, saying or praying to Heavenly Father, participating in the sacrament and in temple ordinances, time spent with my family, I think is one. There's lots, I guess. Any opportunity I have to learn, anytime I have a chance to serve, using his power, there are a lot of ways in which I have the opportunity to interact with heaven every day. And I think all of those are anchor pins and steel rods that connect me to him and help keep me in place.
Okay. What Elder Bednar says is every time we faithfully receive, review, remember, and renew sacred covenants, our spiritual anchors are secured ever more firmly and steadfastly to the rock of Jesus Christ. So again, just having that image in your mind of a layer of hard rock, and then he has like cement blocks in the picture as the foundation, and then pins going between the rock and the foundation to secure it in place. So awesome. In our house in Wisconsin, before we put in the hot tub, our back patio was not on, it was stamped cement, but it was not on bedrock. It was just on basically clay soil, and it wasn't compacted enough. So over time when we lived there, it sunk like a little bit each year, to the point that and of course I'm holding up my hands and you can't see that because no one else is watching this, but the three people I'm with right now can see it, and it sunk and cracked right in the middle. And you know, we had to spend a lot of money to pull it all out, and then they stamped down as hard as they could that soil so that it was firm. It's not going to be rock, but and then it created a nice firm foundation for the patio. So obviously, if we're not built on the Savior, then with the shifting sands of the world, we're going to crack over time. So, Burke, you are perhaps the most construction mechanically oriented or experienced among us. What insights do you have?
That is a low bar in this group.
Yes, it is. It's a very low bar. I get frustrated hanging a picture. That's how low the bar is. What insights do you have as you reviewed Elder Bednar's discussion of our foundation?
I'm pretty much marked the stuff that you've already read. Just that idea that you have to continually be coming back to Jesus Christ and your faith is him and your connection to him every single day. So,
okay. Awesome. One other thing before we move on from this section, in Moses, when Enoch is talking to the Lord in chapter 7, it says that that the Savior is a rock that is as broad as eternity. And so I always loved that imagery of building on top of that rock where there's no edge. You cannot go past the edge of the rock because there isn't one. So no matter how much it feels like the sands are shifting around us or the rain comes down or whatever the case may be, the foundation will never end if it's built on the Savior, or the rock will never end if our foundation is built upon it.
I thought it was interesting that Elder Bednar was specific to say that the Savior's not the foundation. We build our foundation on the Savior. And I'm not sure that I understood why that needed to be clarified. I felt like at the time was kind of a distinction without a difference, but clearly it mattered because he was very clear to say that. So,
yeah.
I raised my hand. I would say because we build a foundation, but we're not building the Savior. We're connecting what we build, like our lives. Like, what is the focus and foundation of our lives? Our job is to connect that to what already exists, which is Jesus. Like, there's no building to be done with him. Like, what he's done has already happened, and like the salvation has come. He's the rock. It's immovable, unbreakable. And our job is to build a foundation that connects to that rock.
He also addresses this in a footnote. Footnote 10, he says, Ephesians 2:19-20 indicates that the household of God, or the Church of Jesus Christ, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Thus, in the analogy used in Ephesians, Jesus Christ is the central component in the foundation upon which his church is built. In contrast, Helaman 5:12 indicates that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. Thus, the foundation upon which we should build our lives is the rock of our Redeemer, a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. Thus, in the analogy used in Helaman, Jesus Christ is the bedrock upon which we should build our individual lives. I thought that was an interesting clarification of that.
Yeah, I think that was interesting. And I think the underlying tone that I got from it, Burke, and from what Rivka just read and what Aaliyah said, was just the idea of agency, right? That he wants us to be active. He wants us to be actors. You know, he wants us to go out and do something and not just be like, hey, here's this solid foundation. I can just lay on it and be safe. you know, you've got to build your life around it. And at the very end of that section, he says, incrementally and increasingly in process of time, virtue garnishes our thoughts unceasingly and our confidence waxes stronger and stronger in the presence of God. And the Holy Ghost is our constant companion. We become more grounded, rooted, established, and settled. So that's what I took from it, was the idea of agency. Build that foundation. So,
all good points.
All right. Well, Burke, what else did you take from this talk? So he talks about sacred times, holy places in the home. You could go with that, or if there's anything else that stood out to you.
I really like here, he talks, about a lot of places where we can experience sacred times and stillness. And I like really they tied it together, he says here, but only as we return to our homes with the spiritual perspective and strength obtained in those holy places and activities can we then sustain our focus upon the primary purposes of mortal life and overcome the temptation so prevalent in our fallen world. I just love how he tied it all together where, you know, really what the most important part, though, is bringing all of these things we learn in these holy places back to our homes. And it makes sense because this is where we spend most of our time. And so that really should be the place that for us is the most strengthening and the holiest. And this is where the Bednar index of this particular talk, you know, ratchets up a little bit. It's kind of like, are you bringing things into your home that don't align with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That's the thought for me.
Yeah. And I remember hearing this talk and thinking, oh man, this is really interesting and new. But when you bring it all back to the center of the talk, it's the same things, right? Like repent, connect with the Lord, do the fundamentals, go to the temple, et cetera, et cetera. And in particular in the home, he focused, as you mentioned there, but yeah, do those things we all know we should be doing. So All right. Well, let's go on to invitations and promises. He is always, or frequently, nice enough to actually label the section promise and testimony. So, Aaliyah, we'll go to you first. What was a invitation and promise that you found?
Well, in that section that he labeled promise and testimony, he says, I promise that as we build the foundation of our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, we can be blessed by the Holy Ghost to receive an individual and spiritual stillness of the soul.
Okay. Have you experienced that? Great.
And if you have, can you still say so now?
Indeed.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't identify with stillness very well, how has that manifested itself then?
I would bring it back to hope. I think even if I'm on the surface, like moving around and kind of all over the place physically and sometimes mentally, I have a very strong, sure knowledge of the things that he mentions here, actually, that I am a child of Heavenly Father and that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And that leads to a covenant confidence, you might say. I don't know, that knowledge can't be moved, and everything that I do can be bounced back onto that and it will be fine.
So more of the steadfastness than the lack of, you know, distraction stillness.
Yeah. And okay. The strength. I liked the...
Yeah.
What did you say earlier? The strength of stillness? I don't know.
Whatever I said, it was brilliant. I have no doubt.
I have a little doubt.
I actually have no idea what I said. You might say, wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast.
Bingo.
Which is basically the only paragraph from the foundation section that we did not quote. But yeah, he linked it to hope as well. So I love it. All right, Rivka, what other invitation or promise did you find?
It's a scripture. I wasn't planning on my doctrine and my, I don't know, invitation being scriptures. And yet. Therefore, let your hearts be comforted concerning, this says Zion, but I think we could put anything in here. Let your hearts be comforted concerning whatever you're concerned about. For all flesh is in mine hands. Be still and know that I am God. So I think the invitation, and I would maybe even argue the commandment here, is to be still. And the blessing that will come from that is we will know that he is God.
Okay, I love it. That's the part that I need to work on. All right, Burke, what was your invitation and promise?
All right, he says, today I repeat a principle I have previously emphasized. Our home should be the ultimate combination of both sacred time and holy place. That's the invitation, wherein individuals and families can be still and know that God is our Heavenly Father, we are His children, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. So again, for me, that was just bringing it back to an examination of whether or not I'm making our home this, and whether there are things that I can change, because I would love to have this knowledge or the testimony of my standing with God, who He is, and Jesus Christ, and how I'm doing. So,
yeah. Burke, when you put it that way, actually, he's the one who put it this way, but when you read ultimate combination of sacred time and holy place, yeah, that's high on the Bednar index.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. One last thing. I just want everyone to know that when Aaliyah is talking, she like leans way forward, grabs the mic. She's like super engaged. And then when she's done, she leans back and snuggles a Simba stuffed animal and is just like so chill. It is so funny. I love
way to call me out.
I love being able to see her. It's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you all. Excellent talk. Our next one is going to be Rise, He Calleth Thee by Elder Massimo De Feo of the 70. In the meantime, Ali is going to tell you how to get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right, so thanks for joining us today, and until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen, by the Spirit. Some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.